T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Did you guys see that Dez Bryant's interested in playing in the NFL again? CBS put together a list of the top 10 teams that could use Dez Bryant. Houston Texans are number one.
Yeah, it's interesting to me just when you think about Dez, and I'm not talking about the former Cowboys stuff, but when you think about the body type and the style of receiver, it would be a right now and where he's at in his career, it would be an extremely poor man's DeAndre Hopkins, a guy that's a big body, likes to stay connected to DB, strong hands, likes to go up and back shoulder or high point the football. He would fit more in that mold, and truth be told, the Texans have moved away from using DeAndre Hopkins in that fashion. I think they'll eventually get back to it, but for me, it's a fit thing. Like, I just don't see where a guy like Dez Bryant fits with this team. One of the strongest points of the Houston Texans is the receiving core. Hell, even with Fuller injured, they're still really, really good at the receiver position. They're thin with Fuller hurt, but they're still really, really talented in the pass catcher's position on this football team. So for me, it's not a good fit, but I sure hope he gets back in the league.
Yeah, when I think about it, I think about Dez Bryant and what skill sets he's going to bring to the table. I don't think that's something that the Texans need. A guy that I was interested in and would have hoped that it would end up being a Texan just based off of his skill set and what he could bring to the table is a guy like Josh Gordon. With Will Fuller always in and out of the lineup, Josh Gordon can take the top off of defense and kind of give you what Will Fuller did. And so now, you know, he is in Seattle now, so that's not going to work out for the Texans. But that was the reason why I thought he would fit with the Texans, because he could provide what Will Fuller does. Dez Bryant doesn't have that top-end speed. He really never had that top-end speed, and he definitely doesn't have it now. So I don't see how he would fit here with the Texans.
You know, one twist on it, though, Wade, is when you were talking, it just, I mean, the way that they're using Hopkins right now would be a way at which a team could use Dez Bryant from, the third and short, the fourth down, the underneath routes. His ability to, like, an older receiver loses speed, and obviously some strength, but they don't ever lose him hands, man. They don't ever lose the ability to use their body. Like, that's an instinctual ability that a receiver has. It's probably the most important instinct that a receiver can have, is his ability to use his body, whether it's on keeping his body between the DB and the ball and underneath routes, or it's slowing down and allowing the ball to fall over your outside shoulder on the deep routes and forcing a DB to go through you. That instinct of a receiver to use their body, it typically never leaves them, right? The speed goes first, and if you've got great hands and you've got great instincts with your body, then somebody can use your services. And I'm not saying the Texans need him, but if somebody out there needs a third down receiver or needs a big-bodied guy in the red zone, then Dez Bryant, there'll be a place in this league for him.
I wouldn't be opposed to him as an emergency wide receiver, you know, because the Texans are thin outside. You mentioned it. With Will Fuller hurt, they have DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills got banged up a little bit in the Jacksonville game. And what they have behind them, Stephen Mitchell Jr., who's, you know, promising young player, but probably more suited for the practice squad right now. He's not somebody at the level that you trust a whole lot, you know, to throw in an NFL game. Kind of like Vincent Smith last year. You traded for Demaryius Thomas. So I'm not going to give Dez Bryant the job, but if he came in, worked out, and he showed that he was pretty good, yeah, that's an upgrade over Stephen Mitchell Jr. and could be some insurance in case DeAndre Hopkins gets hurt.
Has things gotten so bad that you mentioned all the receivers and you did not mention Kiki QT?
Well, I was talking about outside receivers.
Oh, okay. You were talking about outside receivers only.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, but here's the conversation, inside or outside, right? You got Fuller, Steels, and Hopkins, and outside of that, the conversation, if you're talking about Dez Bryant, the conversation doesn't have anything to do with those three I just mentioned. It has everything to do with Carter, Kiki QT, and Stevie Mitchell Jr., right? And if that's the case, if you're looking at a fourth guy that can help you in the slot, that can create a little bit of depth across your front line, then it may not be such a bad idea, truth be told.
To me, when I look at it, Dez Bryant is not going to play any special teams. You have so many guys on the roster already that are good in between the numbers and up and down those hashes.
Yep.
And I'm not just talking about receivers. I'm talking about the Fells and the Akins and the Duke Johnson out of the backfield. You have so many guys – that can attack that area. I don't think there's any room for him here. And Dez Bryant, during his entire career, he's been an outside guy, but I don't think he has that ability anymore. I think he'd be really good on the inside, but like I said, I just don't think it fits here with the Texans.
Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham live at the Little Woodrow's in Katy. There was some big news on the college football front in terms of the college football playoff. Also, perhaps the Heisman Trophy a bit as well. Chase Young, who's considered by many to be the best football player in the college game, got suspended today by Ohio State for taking some money from a family friend who loaned him the money. Not an agent, not a booster. We were told this according to Bruce Feldman. Ohio State issuing the release that he's going to be suspended indefinitely, at least for 1 week. They're hopeful that they will get him back at a certain point. But to me, this is a bigger question of him on the field, because I think Ohio State will be fine without him until they get deeper into their season anyways. But here's another example of a player taking a little bit of money on the side, which in the future might be a legal thing to do. You might be able to do that in the coming years.
Well, I think this was in the form of a loan from a family friend, and it's been paid back in full, right? And this is just the Ohio State University really, I think, protecting themselves of knowing that this is a game that they really don't need Chase Young to win. And if something were to be uncovered that was illegal, the fact that he did not play versus Maryland would be a positive thing. To me, it's just a crying shame that you've got a young man, and this happens all the time, and it's only going to be highlighted, or it's going to be brought to the forefront more often when it's a guy like Chase Young. But you've got a guy that's got 13 and a half sacks in the college season this year, man. He had 4 sacks against Wisconsin. You're talking about a guy that I believe he's 1 sack or half a sack away from breaking the Ohio State single season sack. I believe that if anybody's ever been close, this sucker right here is close with 13 and a half at this point in time. So you're talking about a guy that has a chance. One, the number of games that he can play in college. Y'all have heard me talk about it before. The clock started, the 5-year clock started. I don't know, what is he, a junior? The clock started. It doesn't matter. The clock started. He's got 5 years to play college football, and the NCAA is yanking one of the games out from underneath him like he's just got a lifetime to play ball. And you're talking about taking a game away from a guy that could possibly put his name in the record books at Ohio State and on across the college football landscape forever. To me, it's just and by the way, we ain't real sure that he's guilty. We're not real sure. We're going to investigate this thing. We hadn't found enough yet to really I guess suspend him officially for the rest of the season.
Right.
But just to be safe, we're going to sit him out of game. I'm not saying it's a bad decision by Ohio State. I just think it's an unfortunate situation, and I hate when this kind of thing happens and the NCAA is in the middle of it.
Yeah, and I think that's the big key that when I hear you say that, it's like they haven't even finished the investigation. They're still trying to figure things out. And it could come out, you know, 2-3 weeks down the road and he's missed 2 or 3 games, and it might come out that, you know what, everything is actually okay. And so he missed those games just as a precautionary measure, but now there's no way he can be a Heisman Trophy candidate anymore. He's out of the running, and that's going to affect that, and it's going to affect what's going to go forward with him possibly in the NFL draft. So I just think that if you get a loan and you paid the loan back, what is the issue? It wasn't a gift. It wasn't like he was taking money on the table.
they might have told him to pay it back after they found out about it.
Well, but here's the deal. It's to me, it's black and white, guys. You know what I mean? It's very simple. Like if this was a loan from Joe Blow,
it was last year,
yeah, right? But hear me out though. Wait, if this was a loan from Joe Blow, which it seems like there's no gray area. It's pretty black and white. He's come out and said it. It was a loan from this guy here. It's been paid back in full. That you would think that's a pretty quick. I mean, how many adults in the NCAA that are employed by the NCAA to investigate this situation does it take to find out with a sense of urgency whether this situation was illegal? That's what kills me, is that the NCAA functions at a snail's pace when you're dealing with kids that are on a 5-year clock. They can never go back and play their junior year game 8. They can never go back and play their senior year game 8. And I get it, some guys make mistakes. I get it. But for the NCAA to drag their feet and allow things to just continue in a way that players miss games and there's no sense of urgency, that blows my mind every time one of these situations comes up. It's black and white, man. He's telling you he borrowed it from this guy. He paid it back in full. Either it's illegal or it's not. Wash your hands of it and move forward or suspend the guy officially.
Well, it is illegal. It's illegal to take money from somebody at all unless it's like in your family, even if it's a family friend, in the NCAA. Now, it depends on how long or how much. It depends on if you paid it back in full. That depends on the infraction, how long is the penalty that the NCAA would give. And this goes to your point about it being, well, you know, how long is it going to take for the NCAA to decide? But you can't take money from anybody unless it's like a father or, you know, somebody in your family. So that's illegal to the point. But now it's how punitive is the penalty going forward. And sometimes it's, you know, you miss a quarter, you miss a half, maybe it's a miss a game type of deal.
Again, I know there's some gray air relative to that rule, but relative to what happened and what's legal and illegal is black and white. There's no debate. You know what I mean? Like, I hear you saying it's illegal. Okay, if that is the case, then dole out the punishment,
yeah,
and let's move forward. The university shouldn't have to suspend the guy or not allow a guy to play for a week while the NCAA investigates and decides what they want to do, right? I mean, I'm not here to debate the rule book. I don't know exactly what the NCAA rule book says. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is interpret the damn thing a little bit quicker,
yeah,
and take into consideration that this guy's clock has started, man. He can't get these days back.
I completely agree with that. And I also agree that it probably shouldn't be illegal going forward. Like, if somebody wants to give you a couple bucks, give them a couple bucks, you know?
Them boys handing out money left and right. Chase Young ain't the first dude to take a quote-unquote loan and pay that.
$100 handshake.
Now, he may be the first one that paid that sucker back.
Well,
why do you think he paid it back?
He paid it back because they told him that you took money.
No, but
they
that
found
was,
out.
It happened over a year ago.
I mean,
It happened over a year ago.
The fact, I don't know how it got found out, first of all. Maryland's probably the one reporting
exactly.
it. Indiana,
one of the teams in the conference were mad because Chase Young is running through it, and he was like, "You know what? I'm gonna drop a dime on this guy and get him in trouble so that we don't have to see him, or so he can't win the Heisman." Well, but if it wasn't Chase Young, if it was some random
person,
we wouldn't even know about it.
Wade, if I were an opposing quarterback that's left on Ohio State's schedule, and I watched that Wisconsin game, I'd tell on his ass too.
I'm gonna drop a dime on him.
Somebody call the police. I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.